you know, to show up to the office or on a Zoom call or, you know, whatever your place of employment is, and have to sort of essentially act like nothing is wrong and really bottle things up sometimes, and internally and really externally as well, show up as a fully functioning human being is one of the most uncomfortable, painful, distracting, and just overwhelming things that we have to endure. This is the Life with Grief podcast, the podcast that talks about and normalizes the complexities of grief, life after loss, and all this entails, and so much more. I want you to think of this podcast as a safe space where I'm a friendly face and we're just journeying through this together to figure out how to live life with our grief in tow. I'm your host, Tara Accardo. I'm a grief and transformational life coach, and I'm here to serve you guidance, support, tangible coping tools, inspiration, and some laughs along the way to help you cultivate a more meaningful, intentional, and beautiful life. But grieving or not, we're getting into countless topics here on the podcast, from coping with loss to self-development and so much more. I'm so grateful you're here. Let's dive right in. Hi guys, welcome back to the Life with Grief podcast. I'm your host, Tara Accardo. And today's topic is sort of a continuation or sort of a part two of sorts of last week's episode, where we talked about how to cope with and navigate job loss and all that entails. But we also talked about sort of finding your purpose and how to move forward and where to go after we experience a loss like that. So if you haven't checked out that episode yet and you could maybe use it, or you know someone who could, definitely go check that out. That's linked in the show description as well. But in today's episode, I wanted to pivot just a little bit and talk about how difficult it can be to continue working while we are grieving a loss, or maybe we are dealing with some anticipatory grief. Maybe we are witnessing the decline of a loved one due to a health condition, or maybe going through a divorce or an ending relationship, and we're grieving these things as we have to continue working. And so I just wanted to talk about this and validate it, first of all, and how, you know, how hard this can be, but also talk about some ways to cope as you journey through this emotionally taxing time. And if having to work while coping with a loss maybe doesn't apply to you in this particular moment, listen, you're welcome to skip this episode, but I would honestly love for you to hang out in case this ever does come up in your life, or you might be able to apply some of this information to other aspects of your grieving journey if you're feeling overwhelmed, or you are just simply trying to balance your grief and all of the daily demands on you. And like I said for the last episode, if this is maybe relevant to someone that you know and love who could really use hearing this right now, I would so appreciate you sharing this episode or this podcast so we can together help as many people navigate grief as possible, right? So let's dig into it. So I just wanted to start by getting one thing straight here. Coping with a loss while still having to work and support a family or just support ourselves is by far one of the most physically and emotionally taxing things that someone who is grieving has to go through, period. And I say even like physically taxing because grief can really show up physically for us too. It can make us feel like we do not want to get out of bed. And so having to, you know, depending on what your job is, especially mentally and like physically prepare ourselves to do this day in and day out when we are struggling with so much more, sometimes behind the scenes, that is so, so hard, you guys. And I mean this also wholeheartedly, not only from my own experience, but from hearing the stories of others who have had to endure this as well. You know, to show up to the office or on a Zoom call or, you know, whatever your place of employment is, and have to sort of essentially act like nothing is wrong and really bottle things up sometimes, and internally and really externally as well, show up as a fully functioning human being is one of the most uncomfortable, painful, distracting, and just overwhelming things that we have to endure. And it can almost feel a little unfair in a way that you have to show up like this as everything else just feels like it is crumbling around you. Can you relate to this at all? And maybe it's not work, right? Maybe it's like a social function, or it's just showing up for our family or our kids, and we are just trying not to break down throughout it all. So we're going to dig into this further in this episode, and we'll also explore some tips on how to cope so you can feel like a somewhat normal functioning human being again. So let's kind of start this conversation off by just validating and looking at some of the challenges of working as we're grieving. When you're grieving a loss, maybe you're distracted by an impending loss, or you are coping with the world, the weight of the world on your shoulders in some capacity, it can be really hard to focus on anything other than your loss. And differentiating these two things and compartmentalizing all of this can be so difficult. And even the most simple tasks can feel overwhelming. And especially the idea of going to work, that in and of itself can be daunting. And some specific challenges that you might face here could be lack of energy. I was mentioning getting out of bed in the morning earlier. Grief can be incredibly draining. You might find that you are, you know, again, just struggling to have some sort of consistent routine, or that you are just super exhausted even after just a few hours of work. Maybe you're exhausted before you even get there. This is really common, but I want to encourage you, please keep an eye on this if this is feeling prolonged for you. When we are grieving and processing a loss, shock plays a huge part of this. Our brain and our body are trying so hard to get a hold of and understand what is going on around us, adjusting to our new reality, creating new prediction patterns based on our new lived experiences that help us grasp our loved one's absence. Let's say it's a death, and so much more. Maybe you are coping with, you know, like I said, as an example, maybe an ending relationship, and you are getting used to them not being in your life anymore, yet this is a living loss, right? Maybe they're still out there, and we know that, and we're just trying to make sense of this all, right? So that being said, we need to give it, our brain and ourselves, time to understand that this is a process. Early on in your grief, in the acute grief especially, it can feel like new and painful reminders are everywhere. And learning how to handle our grief triggers, that takes practice and that takes patience. And lastly here, worrying about what fear, experience, or situation relating to your loss might be waiting for you around the corner, that can leave you in a constant state of fear, also sort of known as hypervigilance. And that can be really detrimental to our mind and our, you know, physical health. So what I was saying earlier, you know, as far as keeping an eye on these things, if this is a prolonged thing for you, I just want to interrupt myself here. Please seek help. Seek help from a grief coach, a therapist, if you feel like you really need to dig into more things from your past, or there are just some deeper traumas here, because having this prolonged experience can really, really take a negative toll on us. I don't say this to scare anybody. I just want to implore you, it is so important to seek the right help. And sometimes this is just, it's hard to do on our own, right? But being physically tired might require you to give your body a rest, while being more emotionally exhausted might mean finding ways to calm your mind. So we're going to get into this, but I just want you to remember, it's all about having a good balance. And I know how difficult that is as we grieve, but there are ways to do this, I promise. Like I said, seeking help is a beautiful way to start if you find this to be very intimidating. Rightfully so, it's a lot, but there are ways that we can do this on our own too. So we're going to get into this more. But another thing I also want to just call out here is, as we are working and trying to balance all of this, is we can have difficulty concentrating. When you're grieving, your mind is often preoccupied with thoughts of your loved one or whatever it is that you are grieving. It can also get a little stuck in the past. Maybe it's memories of them. Maybe we're just missing them really deeply in any given moment. We're worrying about the near and the distant future, you know, from how we're going to live without them to any legal or maybe funeral related situations. This can be so distracting. Like, how do we even navigate this? Like I mentioned compartmentalizing, like it can be so, you know, gut-wrenching, so exhausting trying to do this day in and day out. And rightfully so, right? All of this and more can make it especially challenging to concentrate on tasks at work, or, you know, we're trying to remember important details, but our mind is just so foggy and fuzzy. And remember, grief brain, it does exist, and that can often last a lot longer than you might think. I am seriously talking like a year or more, right? This is not exclusive to the earlier days of our grief. Another thing that we can experience as we are trying to navigate working as we are grieving is decreased motivation. The loss of a loved one especially, but really anything that we have lost, can leave you feeling very unmotivated and uninspired. You might find that you are less interested in your job, or that you are kind of just simply going through the motions, desperately just wanting to be off of your shift and home, or just literally anywhere else, let's be real. So we need to hold space for that and, you know, give that the attention that it deserves, and understand that this decreased motivation, it's not going to hang around forever, but it's also not coming from nowhere. Another thing we have to cope with is emotional outbursts. I love to call these grief bursts. You might hear this in the grief space, and these are so fun. Not. As you might have gleaned from what I've said so far, grief can be unpredictable. It is a highly emotionally charged process. You know this if you have or you are going through it, and you might find that you are experiencing very intense emotions at unexpected times. And I have worked with clients where they'll tell me, like, Tara, I am just experiencing tears for no reason. It feels like no reason. I have no idea where this is coming from, but it makes me so sad because they kind of feel like there's something wrong with them, or that they're grieving the wrong way, or, you know, they're kind of freaking out that it seems to be coming out of nowhere or at really inconvenient times. And I always just want to encourage you, and I always encourage them, it is not coming from nowhere. Like I said earlier, sometimes it can just come at the drop of a hat and we're not even clear on what triggered it. But guess what? Maybe there isn't a trigger. Maybe this is just your grief making itself known, because it has to, right? It has to go somewhere. We have to let this out. So yes, sometimes this can happen at very inconvenient times, i.e. when you're at work. And this can be particularly challenging in a work setting where you might need or feel the need to remain composed and professional. Like, we, as we're working, don't always have the luxury of just losing it right there, right? Like, whereas if we're at home, just on the comfort of our own couch, we can have a good cry session if we want to. So it just adds to the complexity of this process and trying to navigate grief as we work. So I just want to touch on my experience while working just a little bit here, in case you can empathize with this, and just give you an idea of sort of what this was like for me and how I navigated this. Emotionally, and I'm going to say logistically, working while in the midst of anticipatory grief, which was something I really dealt with both of the declines of my parents' health, you know, and then the acute grief, and then every day after that, that was the most spread thin I have ever felt in my life, if that makes sense. Just to set the stage a little bit and give some context to this very quick story I'm going to share, I was working at a marketing agency when my mom was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And throughout her decline, and then ultimately my dad's death too, I had clients that were different wine brands that I did digital marketing for. So I handled their social media, I did their emails, I ran Facebook ads, wrote blog posts, all the things. And I really enjoyed the work itself, but it did demand a lot of attention. And some of this work had to happen outside of business hours. So for example, getting on Instagram or Facebook or whatever and engaging with some comments from the post that day, right? While I still managed to get the work done somehow, to visit my mom in the hospital that she was at, it was 45 minutes one way. So I was doing that back and forth between my home and my mom in the hospital for quite some time. And I wanted so desperately to just be there and be present for her, but still having to work and feeling like I couldn't be there fully in certain moments, that was brutal. I either was like in the office and then had to like get up there after work. I always hit traffic in some capacity. Or even if I was able to, like, let's say work from the hospital, I was working from the hospital. I was on my computer. Like I said, I wasn't fully present and there with her at certain times. And I hated that. And looking back, like, I wish I had advocated for myself a little bit more. I wish I had, you know, compartmentalized that a little better. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I can't go back and change it now. I wish I'd known that more in the moment. But, you know, let's be real. If I could have been at the hospital 24/7 with my mom, I would have. And I just want to have a moment here for anticipatory grief. This is a really important reminder for those that are grieving something that is, like, again, maybe it's a loved one who is declining. It's like something that you know you're going to lose, but you haven't lost it yet, if that makes sense. The most humbling thing that I think we have to remember is that in these moments when we're distracted, especially if our loved one hasn't fully left us yet, but they are declining, those are moments we don't get back. Please remember that if you are there right now. There is no going back. But you also might feel the need and this pull to have to continue to provide for your family or for yourself. You have to continue going to work. And guess what? That's okay. You are allowed to do that. And I want you to give yourself permission to not feel guilty for having to do that. You know, we have to continue working. We might have to continue making money. Maybe we are paying for care for the loved one who is declining, so we have to work and be able to do that. Like, there's so many different situations where this can present itself. And I also just want to mention here, maybe work is actually a good outlet for you. Maybe it's a healthy distraction for a little while from everything going on. That's okay too. And I know that can feel so slimy. And sometimes in the moment, we feel so bad about that, like that we're not giving our loved one who is declining or whatever the situation is, like, all of our love and attention. The love is still there. The attention is still there. We have to do anything and everything we can to maintain some semblance of sanity throughout this whole thing. So I encourage you to do that if that's what you need. We can't live in our grief 24/7, right? It's not healthy. It's not even realistic, whether or not we realize it. Like, we might think we're always grieving, and of course, in some ways we are, but we can't live in that mental space 24/7 all the time. We have to find a little bit of peace. We have to get sleep. We have to do what we have to do to survive. Now, I just want to mention also sort of an important word of caution here. If you begin to dive into your work to escape and kind of virtually ignore everything going on, that is when that might need to be re-examined. There has to be a good balance. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you need to stop working completely to be able to feel all your feels. We have to be able to strike a balance between probably still having to work throughout our grief, but also holding space and giving our grief the time that it needs to be seen and felt. So it is so important to take these moments and take that time for yourself, however you can do this. And despite the many challenges of working as we're grieving, it is possible to find ways to cope. So with that being said, here are just a few very high-level tips to help you navigate this difficult time, whatever this looks like for you. And I just wanted to call this out and put these out there today. Hopefully just to leave you with some action steps maybe, but just some words of encouragement. Number one, be kind to yourself. As always, as you have probably heard, grief is a natural and normal response to loss. It's okay to take things slow. It's okay to give yourself permission to grieve. In fact, you have to do this. Like, I'm kind of telling you what to do here. You have to do this. And especially if you are working or you're trying to work and you're trying to do a good job at your work amongst all of the chaos that's going on around you, you need to be able to give yourself that balance and that grace when you need it so that you can show up the best way that you can. And especially if you are working or you're trying to work and you're just trying so desperately to do a good job amongst all of the chaos that's going on around you, you need to be able to give yourself that balance and that grace when you need it so that you can show up the best way that you can if that work is really important to you, which I would imagine it is. I know it is for a lot of us. And so being kind to ourselves and giving ourselves the time that we so desperately need to grieve and take a beat and process everything that is happening or has happened, that will enable us to better compartmentalize. I've used that word a few times today, but truly that is the theme of working with grief, is compartmentalizing it all. And in doing that, we will be able to better get that work done that is in front of us, which unfortunately sometimes can't stop because we've experienced a loss, right? Real quick interruption here, and then we'll get back to this episode. If you're someone who is experiencing some form of loss and are trying to navigate the complexities of grief, which you likely are in some capacity if you've stumbled upon this podcast, then this message is for you. If you haven't heard about my Life with Grief membership and community yet, this is truly something you need to check out. This membership is here to guide you into living a deeper, more meaningful, and full life after experiencing loss. Who doesn't want that, right? I created this membership because I know what it's like to navigate and cope with grief on a daily basis, and I know the tools and support it takes to do this effectively. I've done the work myself, and I've coached people just like you to do the same. It comes down to having impactful, effective resources and tools at your disposal, having the right support around you from people who can understand and empathize with your grief, and having encouragement and inspiration around you consistently to not only elicit and spark change, but to keep it and keep the positive momentum going. Enrollment opens once a month for a limited time. Check out the details linked in the description, and I hope to see you in there. Another very high-level coping tool here. I know this is such a buzzword, but practicing self-care. I won't go into a lot of detail here on this one just for the sake of time today. This is something in my membership that we really focus on, but ultimately just taking care of yourself physically and emotionally. So this means, you know, all the typical things, getting plenty of rest. By the way, I know that's hard. I know our minds can ruminate a lot at night, especially in the morning, but there are ways that we can get this better sleep as we need it. We can do this through breath work, maybe meditating a little bit before we go to bed, eating well, making time for activities that bring you joy and comfort. I often talk about doing things that spark joy for you. So think about that. What is that for you? Is that escaping into a really good book that maybe, you know, this fiction book that really kind of like gets you out of your reality for a few minutes? That's okay. Maybe it's self-development. It's, you know, books that can help you with your growth. Eating well, of course, as much as we can, making sure we're eating enough, making sure we're getting enough protein and we're, you know, we're getting these things that are really going to set us up for success each day. Maybe it's, you know, hiring a babysitter or something for an hour or two, and maybe you and your partner go to a movie or you go do something that you love, or, you know, you just have a little bit of bonding time just to, again, you know, really connect with each other. I mean, there are so many things under the sun that we can categorize as self-care, but I just want you to really spend some time thinking about this and think outside of the box from these typical sort of like self-care activities, right? Like, sure, manicure, pedicure, all those things are great, but I also just want you to think about this not quite so surface level, like really think about things that nourish your mind and your soul. Okay. Also, setting boundaries. Setting really healthy boundaries can mean a lot of things, but in this situation especially, it means communicating well and honestly with your loved ones. And in this case, maybe with your manager or, you know, whoever that is for you. Maybe it's your partner. If you're like, let's say you're an entrepreneur, right? Maybe you work for yourself, but you are just kind of struggling to keep afloat mentally. Another thing to consider is to set healthy boundaries. Setting healthy boundaries can mean a lot of things, but in this situation especially, I definitely think it means communicating well and honestly with your loved ones, and maybe in this case with your manager or whoever that is for you. Or perhaps you're an entrepreneur and, you know, maybe you just have to be very honest with maybe clients that you have, or, you know, if you have a husband or wife or a partner and you're, you know, just needing to kind of take a step back for a little while. And I know how stressful that is, right? Especially when you feel like so much is riding on your shoulders. But if you can do that for yourself, you will show up in a more impactful way. And again, like I said, it's all about that balance. So however it is that you need to communicate this to whoever that is, zero shame, right? Zero qualms about doing that. That's so important. And to be able to stand up for yourself and express these things, I truly feel is a sign of great self-awareness and respect for yourself and respect for others. And especially if you work for someone, I really genuinely think like many employers, they're looking for these qualities in people. So I don't want you to fear this. I know it is so situational and I can't speak for, you know, whoever's listening, I can't speak for whatever situation you're in right now, but I just want to share this sentiment to be able to say with just the deepest conviction and being as assertive but vulnerable with this as possible, that you just need to take maybe a 10-minute break, right? Or you might need to take a call throughout the day with regards to something going on with some arrangements, maybe with someone's health. Maybe, you know, you're dealing with a loved one who did just pass away and you're dealing with funeral arrangements or palliative care. I mean, anything under the sun, right? So perhaps it's, you know, checking in with how someone is doing health-wise. I had to do this all the time with both of my parents. I was on the phone with nurses, especially with my dad. I was on the phone with people all the time. And I still had to do this while also like writing social media posts, right? So, you know, whatever this looks like for you, I've said it before and I will say it again, be your own advocate. I was a little younger when my losses happened, and I alluded to this earlier, but I don't think I did this for myself well enough in the role that I was in. But you know what? At the same time, I didn't know what I didn't know. I had never been through a situation like that. And all I can say now is I will make sure to take that stand should something like this ever happen again. Right? That's all I can do. And remember, it's okay to let your coworkers or your boss know that you're going through a difficult time. You don't have to divulge every nitty-gritty detail, but you can communicate very open and honestly, like that you might need to adjust your workload or take a little time off if it's necessary. And I know this is so dependent on the job that you have, but sometimes it's unfortunate, but we need to ask for those things to get that sometimes. And of course, I hope this goes without saying, but remember to communicate this to friends and family too. Some people, even though they might be like seeming like they understand what's going on, they might not understand the extent of what you're feeling and what your grief is. They might not fully understand or appreciate what you're going through. That's a very normal thing, right? Like, and yes, even if someone has been through a loss themselves, people can forget how difficult those early days and weeks and even months are. So it's important that, you know, we all handle it differently. So it's important to remember that we all handle grief differently. Keeping realistic expectations with ourselves and with others is a big key to this, but a lot of the time people will not really know what you're going through unless you are open and communicate that. Another thing here, practice mindfulness. Yes, I know this is easier said than done, just like getting good sleep and all the things. But with a daily practice in this and taking it little by little, working up to this, it becomes easier, or at least easier-ish, to stay present in the moment and focus on the task at hand, whatever is going on in front of you. Mindfulness exercises like deep breathing, I've mentioned meditation, they can help you stay really centered and calm. Seeking support, another huge one. I've said it before, I will say it again, so I won't belabor this, but do not be afraid to reach out to friends, family, or if you're not really feeling like you have the best support system or they are just really not getting it, a therapist or a coach, grief coach like myself. I do one-on-one coaching. I have my membership for this exact reason. There are people in my membership who have beautiful families. They have loving loved ones, but they haven't experienced what they have. And not only just with losing somebody, but like with the life after loss. I mean, I literally called my membership the Intentional Life After Loss Membership and Community for a reason, right? Because there are so many layers to loss, whether we're experiencing it in the moment, and it's that anticipatory grief I was talking about, or dealing with life after it. So it is so important to have someone in your corner that you can talk to and go to for these things. It really makes the world of a difference. And I just want to also touch on, you know, feeling the pressure in this situation. I personally felt so much pressure, really from myself more than anybody, even more from myself than even like my clients or from my bosses. They were actually really understanding, honestly. But I put so much pressure on myself because if I felt myself slipping or if I felt my work slipping a little bit, I would get on myself about that. I would be worried about that. I would be afraid about how that would impact my job. I was worried about losing it. So, and that would even take equal priority to like my mom's care some of the time. But when we're faced with a loved one who is declining, for example, or a loved one that has passed away, and now we are grappling with that grief, there is no higher priority than that. I've talked about balance a lot today, but like, that's the priority, right? Like, sure, our work is important. Sure, we want to show up for people. We don't want to disappoint people. But remember what I just said a few minutes ago about it being a well-respected and highly regarded thing for you to have that self-awareness, to realize that, and to communicate that to your superior. I truly mean that. And, you know, employers, they look for qualities like that in their employees. I mentioned in last week's episode, I was a hiring manager at one point. I deeply respected people who could come to us with this vulnerability, but with this professionalism and tell us what's going on. I've never respected people more in my life who could do that. That's not an easy thing to do. And I would venture to say that more employers than not want you to be able to take care of yourself, right? For one, God willing, they're good humans too, and they want that for you. And number two, they want you to be happy and healthy as well. And when you take care of yourself, you might have to take a little time out of work now and then to deal with some things, to cope with your grief in those early days the best that you can. But long and even short term, that for them means a more productive, happier, higher functioning employee. What employer wouldn't want that, right? It's actually in their best interest to give that to you, to allow you to grieve, to give you that space. And if it gets to the point where you're feeling like your work or your performance could be suffering because of your grief and your loss, depending on your work situation, I might even challenge you to have that candid conversation with your boss or your manager. You know, no matter how you're feeling about your job, let's say it's in the moment right now, whether you love it or hate it, chances are you're grateful at least to be employed and having money coming in, right? We talked about this last week in terms of the loss of a job and how stressful that is. So, you know, these are the things in life that we can find gratitude in, even when other things around us feel like they're falling apart. And I say this because I've been in both situations before. with that candid conversation that you might have to have with somebody, express that gratitude for your job and that you want to do really well. And you're doing the best that you can to find balance, but that you are coping with a lot right now. This is a great thing to bring up to your human resources representative if you have one. If you don't feel comfortable going to, you know, directly to your manager, if you don't have an HR department, yeah, you might have to go straight to your boss. I know this can be uncomfortable, but this is a perfectly okay thing to communicate. I just want to empower you to do this and feel like you can do this. And again, I would bet you that more times than not, most employers would be understanding and they will try and work with you a little bit. And you never know, perhaps they have been through something similar, or if nothing else, they can at least empathize with what you're going through. So whether it's adjusting some of your workload, giving you a little more time off to deal with some things, a more flexible schedule that's just temporary, whatever it is. So, and that being said, let's just touch on time off while working. I have so many thoughts and feelings about this, you guys. Most companies, at least in the US, I can't speak for other companies, but at least in the US, don't allow more than like 5, maybe 7 days max for the death of a qualifying family member. First of all, how gross is that wording? Like a qualifying family member, like other family members or a pet or something, isn't worth as much time or any time. Like, we have such a long way to go here. And like I said, one of the things that makes me cringe so much on top of this is that qualifying family member thing. What if it's a distant family member that maybe isn't technically a parent? Maybe it's a sibling or a grandparent or this amazing aunt or, you know, grandma, for example, that helped raise you, right? Maybe it's one of your best friends of 20 or 30 years, for example. Taking this a step further, what if it is a loss that people would consider to be a secondary loss? So again, the death of a pet, a divorce, maybe a really stressful financial situation. Maybe it's a big move. Maybe it's a situation where you just desperately need time to find your footing again and grieve whatever the situation is properly, but it's not a death. All of those I just listed and so much more deserve to be grieved just as much as a major loss. So maybe you are listening to this right now and you are a griever and you're like, yeah, Tara, I hear you, but I just want to like implore anybody here who is in a management position and any kind of leadership position, a decision maker position, please let's collectively work on this. Like I'm begging us all here to change this. I want this to evolve so badly. I understand that work still has to be done. I understand that companies and businesses, they have to continue to run. But if our employees are not at their best mentally, I just implore anybody listening here who is in any kind of position to make this change happen. Like, let's do better. Let's work together to do better. But that being said, I also just want to remind you that depending on where you're employed, so many companies now have EAPs or employee assistance programs. I have actually used one of these before when I was engaged many years ago in my early 20s. We were not in a good place at the time, and we took advantage of that to get a little bit of counseling. Spoiler alert, we broke up shortly after, but it was helpful at the time for what it was. And there's no shame in this. It is there for a reason. You know, probably most, if not all of it too, would be paid for as well. So if you're in a situation where finances might be a struggle and, you know, hiring, like getting a therapist yourself or paying out of pocket for that might be difficult, please keep this in mind if this is something that is available to you. But as I said, you know, there are so many resources that could be also very inexpensive or even free for you to take advantage of. And I just want to remind you one more time, I have very affordable one-on-one coaching, grief coaching, life coaching, my membership, all of this to help you along. Okay, so where does this all leave us? To wrap this up, I just want you to know that if this is something that you are journeying through right now, or if you do find yourself journeying through this at any point, You are so seen and understood here. The pressure and emotional toll it can take on us to have to continue working, or feeling like we have to continue working through any kind of loss and show up the best we can. That is so difficult and that is so exhausting. I've mentioned this already, but being able to excuse yourself or take a few minutes here and there, both from family or relationship obligations, but also work obligations, of course, is so important if you feel like your grief is getting the best of you, or if you feel a trigger or a grief burst coming on. I never want you to beat yourself up for feeling those things or feel like you have to push them down and ignore them. And at work of all places, we can feel this more than anywhere else. And guess what? Yes, unfortunately, there are going to be times where we might have to push our grief down or to the side for a few minutes at least. But it's also possible that we might have to let this out. And taking a break to do that, I encourage you to do that because you are human. And guess what? That happens, right? Things hurt us, things trigger us, and having the wherewithal to own that and cope with that, that's what makes us stronger with time. The goal is not necessarily to be strong, and we don't have to be super strong and super resilient. Like, that's not the end game here. That personally, I've found in my own grief journey and just as a coach, that is something that just evolves with us and with our grief with time. And I completely understand that, especially in the workspace, it might be hard to get away or things might just randomly come up, right? You're sitting innocently at your desk. You are standing there, maybe making that coffee for a lovely customer, or you're, you know, maybe a server and you need to bring a table, their appetizers, and all of a sudden a grief burst might hit you. These things can absolutely happen. And I assure you, they've happened to all of us at least once. I would venture to say more than once too. And with time, we get accustomed to a life without our loved one or without whatever it is that we are grieving. The intensity, it does tend to wear off. But again, I want to interrupt myself here and say that if you find it is not wearing off for you, no matter how much time has passed, remember, time alone does not only heal us. I want to interrupt myself here and say that if you find this is not wearing off for you, no matter how much time has passed, there's nothing wrong with you. Grief is honestly such an arduous journey, but it's so important to seek professional support in the form of a therapist or a grief coach to work with you on this if you need it. More than anything, for two reasons. One, we want to be careful not to get stuck in our grief and have it affect our day-to-day life, right? Like, of course, our grief is going to affect our day-to-day life in some ways. But if we feel like this is happening to the point where it is really affecting our mental health, that is where it's important to recognize that you might just need a little bit more support and guidance to move you along. And number two, you deserve a beautiful and a peaceful life. And peace in grief doesn't always seem like they go hand in hand. I get that. But when we give ourselves the chance to absorb our loss and do the work to understand it and cope with it, that intensity does lessen. And a more at peace life will seem in reach. It might not be that way all day, every day. Things might crop up, but we'll also know how to handle it better when it does. That, my friend, is the goal. Life, it looks a lot different than we anticipated when we experience a loss, but I encourage you to do the grief work, hold a sacred space for yourself to work through this. Don't be afraid to fight for it. You deserve it. You have been through a lot, and you are so capable of creating this life for yourself with the right help available to you if you need it. I will leave it at that today, my friend. As always, thank you so much for hanging out with me in this episode. And if you found today's topic helpful, or really anything you've heard on the podcast helpful so far, I would truly appreciate a review or rating on whatever platform you're listening on, or to share it with a friend if you're so inclined, so I'm better able to bring this content and these coping tools and these raw, honest conversations to people who need it most. I am sending you all of the positive energy and healing vibes your way today. And I will catch you in the next episode. I am sending you a huge thank you for tuning into today's episode, my friend. I'm so grateful you're here and for the steps you are taking to heal your heart, open your mind, fulfill your soul, learn, grow, and evolve, and move through this crazy thing called life in big, beautiful, impactful ways. Visit lossesbecomegains.com for my blog, ways to work with me, to shop my daily journal, and so much more. And be sure you're following along on Instagram and Facebook at Life with Grief Podcast. I love seeing new faces, meeting new people, hearing your stories, and supporting you however I can. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. If you haven't left a rating or review, please do so. I would so appreciate it. Or if you feel so inclined to share this episode or this podcast with someone who could use it too. I'll catch you in the next episode.